Welcome to the Brown Bowl Podcast. This is a podcast created for the love of food and meant to support you on a journey to making more vegan choices, no matter where you are along the way. I'm your host, Kim Sujovalski. I'm a teacher, a certified plant-based cook, and for years, I've been helping people go vegan or take more steps in that direction by teaching you how to cook delicious vegan meals, get back in the kitchen, and improve your relationship with food. So are you ready? Lace up those trainers if you're going for a walk, or grab a cup of coffee, get comfy on the couch, and listen in. Hey everyone, welcome back. Welcome back. I'm happy that you're here. Today is, I think we're almost having spring weather around here. It's really crazy. We still should have some of those chills coming through, but it's kind of changing, which is very exciting because that means I'm going to get to spend a lot more time in the woods walking around or riding my bike. It's been cold, so this is a nice change. And this week has been so busy for us. We are actually in the middle of a big filming week. We are both filming for our YouTube channel and our online program, and also for a new little course that we're preparing for you that will hopefully be in your lap soon. Well, yeah, it could be in your lap, right? Through your laptop. So that's pretty cool. We've been filming, and it's a very long process. It involves all the recipe testing beforehand, and then the actual filming, then the editing. You know, you've heard me talk about our process before. So we've been pretty busy around here, and I'm very excited for all of our online program members, for all our My Brown Bowl members. We're beginning really soon a little series on organization. So getting organized, both in the kitchen when it comes to your fridge and your pantry, but also with everything else, with our shopping habits and with putting things away and with meal prepping and batch cooking and with entertaining and so many other things that go into having great meals at home and getting more in that kitchen actually cooking. And I'm really excited about it. And we're going to do it in several installments so that it's not overwhelming and you can kind of tackle a few things first and then put everything into practice before you head into the next video. So that's coming soon. We're in the middle of filming that. And hopefully the first video will be in your program in the next few weeks. So that's very exciting. And today it's finally time to talk about the last installment, the last episode of our Dieting Chronicles. This is part 3. And this one is a little bit different from the ones we've recorded so far, because in the other ones, we kind of went diet by diet, not through all of the 23 that I did, but through some of the ones that caused the most impact and the most negative changes. And this episode today is a little bit different. Here, I'm just basically kind of closing up the series, telling you a story. I'm going to tell you about what I kind of hinted at last week, which was the most destructive diet that I went on, and what it means to be vegan and whether it's restrictive or not. I've been hinting at this from the very beginning of the series, and it's finally time because today we're closing up the series. And after this, I promise you we're going to have lots of episodes with lots of other fun topics related to cooking and the kitchen and veganism and all other types of topics that we usually talk about here at the Brown Bowl Podcast. But I really wanted to close this series with this topic because I think it's important, and I think it was an important healing moment for me doing this series. So I really thank you for listening. And well, we're almost getting started with today's episode, part 3 of the Dieting Chronicles. But before we begin today's show, I want to tell you about a resource I think you'll really love. And I'm talking, of course, about our signature online program, My Brown Bowl. It's what I like to call our big kahuna. It's an ongoing program, all in video format, in which I teach you to cook delicious vegan meals, get organized, give you support on your vegan journey, as well as tools to help you find a blissful and balanced place with food land with eating. And most of all, we cook and we cook and we cook in a way that is simple, teaching you why things are done in the kitchen so that you can become a total pro, creating vegan meals that everybody goes nutty over. There's so much more that is included in the program, so head on over and visit mybramble.com to learn all the details and to give it a try. So head on over to www.mybramble.com. Now, on with the show. Okay, so if it's the first time you're listening to this series, I highly, highly recommend that you start from the very beginning so that you can get a full sense of where I'm coming from. And I began this series after some very deep soul searching and kind of a little epiphany that I went through right after Christmas this year. And I gave you an introduction to the series, so that's where I recommend you start. It's a few episodes back in the podcast, and you can check that out and listen to it. In that episode, I included a little public apology that I felt was important. So go listen to that if you haven't already. And then after that introduction that we posted, we headed deep into the stories of the myriad of weight loss diets that I tried, 23 to be exact. And those I kind of gave you the little lowdown in parts one and parts two of the series. So I really do recommend that this series you should listen to it in order, because a lot of the things I talk about kind of build up on top of each other. So start from the beginning if you haven't yet, and then you can listen to this one, which is the final installment. So you'll hear all about the points and the crazy nutritionist and how deprivation and dieting itself can lead to not only weight gain, but it's also the number one ingredient for a messy relationship with food. And it took me years to figure this one out. I had never seen it in this way, but that's what really happened with my relationship with food. It was the dieting that caused all of the problems. So all of this is what you'll get to hear in the previous episodes of this series. In last week's episode, for example, I covered mostly what happens when all of these body shaming and pro-restrictive voices come from people who have letters after their names, right? So all the doctors and the nutritionists and the quote-unquote specialists, and how destructive that can be. Not to say that doctors don't know what they're talking about, because that's certainly not the case. But when it comes to dieting and also with veganism, a lot of specialists and nutritionists, they are not familiar with this. And they are also a part of this kind of brainwashed system that we have, in which the thin ideal is ingrained in everyone's mind. So it can be really destructive when you're at the receiving end of someone with power telling you that this is what you should do, right? Or this is what you should try. So this we covered in last week's episode. So go listen to that so that you really understand where I'm coming from. And I finished that episode by finally arriving at the point in which I found veganism, right? After all of those diets, or most of those diets, I found veganism, and that's where I finished last week's episode, and that's where we're picking things up today. So if you're a veteran of our blog and you've been reading it from the beginning, you've probably read all about how being vegan started for me, right? I wrote a post called My Journey into Veganism. You can Google that or find it in the search bar at bramble.com. And you can also just Google Bramble and My Journey into Veganism, and you'll find it. And I have all of the story of how that happened and how that came into my life in that post. And it's been such a special part of my life. You've heard me say this countless times. It has changed me in so many ways. And in others, I'm exactly the same person, only with a different plate in front of me, right? When I sit down to eat. So I'm just the same old me. But when it comes to my endless diets, though, it sadly was not the end of the line. So being vegan, although it felt like that in the very beginning, I was done with all of that messy turmoil in my head, and I thought I had finally found balance and that I didn't have to worry about this anymore. That wasn't the case, because, well, you're going to hear why today. So it unfortunately wasn't the end of the line for the diets. Now, as you know, it was the movie Veducated, which made me finally take the plunge after a long process of kind of hearing about what veganism was about and reading books. And you'll hear all of that in the, you'll read all about that in that post I mentioned. And for the first year in my life, for the first vegan year of my life, for the first year that I was vegan, my life changed radically because for the first time ever, I was rid of the never-ending roller coaster of dieting. And I really did put it aside. I was eating what I wanted, what I desired. I was experimenting with a new way of cooking. I was trying out new ingredients. I was finding my vegan sweet spot, as I like to call it. You've heard me say this before, right? I was also busy getting a handle on the social situations, which were really only the only little hard thing that for me when going vegan. It was kind of handling those social situations because it was a very big surprise to all my friends and family when I decided to make this change. And I was the only vegan they knew. So that part was a little bit, that took a little getting used to. So that was what was going on that first year. And for the first time, I was really eating freely, which is strange, right? Because veganism restricts certain foods. But you'll hear what I mean when I talk about veganism towards the end of the episode. So this was freedom. It was freedom on a plate for me. But unfortunately, that didn't last very long. I would soon be exposed to what is the inevitable result of our dieting and perfectionistic mindset when it comes to food. And it's, you know, it's been so ingrained in us that we need to be constantly in control of our food, that we're constantly checking ourselves and monitoring and being aware of portions and the types of foods that we eat, right? It's been so ingrained that this is kind of the status quo. This is what you do, right? This is what you do. You have to be checking yourself when it comes to eating. And don't even get me started on the thin ideal and the unrealistic expectations we have when it comes to what our bodies should look like. I mean, this is something that no one has escaped unless you are genetically blessed with a body that looks like what you see in magazines. But in majority of cases, this isn't the case, right? So don't even get me started on that. But all of this together, it's kind of a melting pot of factors that even within such a kind and compassionate and sweet choice as the choice to be vegan, right? It should be the most compassionate and understanding choice ever. And also even within a way of eating that already includes restriction, because veganism includes restriction, right? You're eliminating meat, dairy, and eggs. So even within this framework, we have found ways to restrict even further. And we've found ways to make certain foods the devil, for example. And this is just a little list because now, I mean, now it's just it's gotten so out of hand. But some of these include gluten and soy and sugar and oil and processed foods and white flour. I mean, now some experts are saying that even the healthy nuts, the healthy fats and nuts are should be limited and you should be careful with them. And this is something that has been health food for centuries, right? So this is just to name a few, and there are so many others. You know, we found a way to translate the constant fear-mongering too, right? So it's not only that some foods are the devil, but we've installed that fear-mongering that we already have enough of in our society, and we have poured it all over our food. For example, foods that cause or prevent cancer. And I'm not talking about, you know, the general intake of food and your general habits and the food you eat throughout your lifetime, which of course can have an effect on your health and is important for health. But I'm talking about the actual installment of fear that eating, I don't know, an Oreo cookie is going to make you sick, or that eating, you know, some kale today is going to assure you that you're never going to get sick. So yeah, we've given these superpowers. I've talked about this before in this series. So this also has to do with, you know, superfoods and our obsession with superfoods or inflammatory foods that should never pass your lips, etc. So we've also put this fear-mongering into our diets, right? We've even gone so far down the rabbit hole that people now shame vegans who don't eat in this way. And by people, I mean other vegans, right? Because non-vegans aren't shaming vegans for the things they're including in their plate. I'm talking about vegans, shaming vegans who don't eat like this. By the way, this is a side note related to this. Every single time I use oil in a recipe, right, when it's not like a teaspoon of oil or something like that, every time I use oil in a recipe, I get a comment along the lines of, "Ugh, that's disgusting." You can go in our YouTube channel and check those out because I leave those there. And yeah, so every time, right? This is a very visceral reaction. I don't know about you, but my mom was, she always got so mad when I was little when somebody called a food disgusting. She said it was very disrespectful. And I still have that a little bit in the back of my mind. So for me, that word disgusting is strong. It's a strong word, right? And oh God, all of this has become so nutty. It's become so nutty. This is like the Hogwarts of perfect superhero eating, right? We're creating this cohort of superhero eaters. And since we come from a society that actually values being strict with yourself and watching what you eat, right? This is kind of something that is valued. If you have great willpower, people kind of cherish that and people are proud of that and people tell you how good you are. So this is also something that adds to that whole mix. And we've just taken a bite of this poisonous apple without even realizing, right? Without realizing it. And those days of eating vegan and enjoying the bounty that nature provides and eating what is desired and then moving on, they are long gone, at least for the quote unquote easily triggered by diet language folks like me and like so many others. And although I was perfectly happy eating vegan, enjoying my food and then moving on to live my life, right, which is what you want to do. Food shouldn't be the only thing in your life. It's a perfectly delicious and happy part of it, but it's not the only thing that should be important in your life. Even though that was the case in the beginning, I still got a huge dose of the quote unquote, you still need to be vigilant pill. And not to mention the should I be eating this way too pill. And especially the I need to still watch my weight pill and the am I eating correctly pill. So I got huge doses of all of these pills. And soon I was right back where I started. I was right back where I started, only now it was Eco Atkins instead of Atkins and vegan paleo instead of paleo and the high carb, low fat craze and the nutritarian diet and the low fat diet and the raw diets and the juice cleansing and also the number one most destructive diet that I have ever done, at least when it comes to my mental health and my well-being. And that is what is now called clean eating. And this is what I hinted at last week when I told you that the restriction of carbohydrates in the diets that I did that had to do with this, those were very, very destructive for me, but nothing was as destructive as this one. And this is a diet or a way of eating, as many people will say, but please don't kid yourself. This is a diet. This is a diet that has a beautiful romantic principle at its base, and it's one that is certainly true and is wonderful, right? Eating plenty of natural foods that in their original form, things that come from the earth, all the beautiful fruits and vegetables and whole grains and beans that are, of course, completely health supportive and that I support all the way, 100% of the way, and that are, of course, an essential part of any diet. That's where all the goodies are. That's where all the nutrients are. And it's also a beautiful part of cooking. As you know, that's my passion. So it's a beautiful part of cooking to take something that is very simple and make it into something incredible. But this diet is not only about that. This diet also has plenty of other rules on top. And these include, and of course, there are different proponents of this clean eating diet and different proponents and different names for this diet recommend different things, of course. So I do not want to generalize here, but this is usually what I've seen. And this was definitely the case in the one that I tried. This includes a reduction of portions oftentimes to unreasonably low quantities and low calorie intake, which is very dangerous. It includes elimination of all processed foods and a constant fear-mongering of processed foods, a constant fear of certain foods. It includes, and this is where I always get into trouble, a reduction of starches and carbohydrate-rich foods. And as was the case with the vegan clean eating diet that I tried, which I'm not going to name, I don't want to give you the name of that one. There are many out there. I don't know if they're all different or all the same. I don't know. But this also included, in the case of the one I did, it included elimination of fruits. Elimination of fruits and starchy carbohydrates at certain times of day. So certain times of day, these were forbidden. And on top of that, they were reduced. You had to measure these out in the other times of day in which they were allowed. So, yeah, I mean, on one side of the spectrum, we have experts recommending limiting carbohydrates. And on the other side of the spectrum, we have the potato cleanse, which is in fact a real thing. So it turns out that nothing has really changed from the pro and anti-margarine days of the 80s. Do you remember these days? Maybe you're much younger than me and you don't. But I clearly remember this in the 80s and 90s, where, you know, you had the pro margarine people and the completely anti margarine people. It's all the same. It's still the same. We're still on the same boat. Nothing has really changed. And I will never know if this diet was simply the final drop in a glass that was already overflowing with water. And by water, I mean the 23 back-to-back diets and my slowly reaching a breaking point, or if indeed it was the structure of this particular one which pushed me over the edge. It could have been a combination of both of those things. But what I do know is what happened to me. I do know what happened. And what happened was that for the first time, I became truly obsessed with portion control. This has never happened to me before in the diets. Before in the diets, it was all about that war between what I wanted to eat and what I could eat. And it eventually just led to me, you know, quitting the diet and going back to my overeating habits. This time was different. This time I truly became obsessed with portion control. I developed such a fear of the foods that were not allowed in the diet that I almost didn't want to eat them in the times or amounts that were allowed. So you start becoming, foods really take on like a personality that there's something to be feared, and it's very strange. This had never happened to me in this degree before. It had happened in certain moments and with certain diets, but not to this degree, not to this point. So it was the most restrictive diet that I have ever done out of 23 diets, which is saying a lot. And it made me very unhappy and unhealthy, and it made me obsessed with food. And I'm going to say it again, when we restrict and when our bodies feel deprived, when we have so many rules around our eating, the only thing that is guaranteed to happen is that we will obsess and we will eventually overeat. These are two sides of the same coin, and it took me years to realize this. And when it comes to my personal story with food and the problem that I have had since childhood, and this is overeating, this diet made me turn a very dangerous corner, both in the restricting side and then in the overeating, because the overeating became so much worse. And even now, after going back to eating normally and slowly in the process of rebuilding a normal relationship with food, I still feel the effects and the thoughts of this very dark period pop into my head, right? When I see a certain food that I'm putting on my plate, this was so strong that I still have these thoughts when I put these foods on the plate. And it can be so hard to remove these fears. And so, oh my goodness, you know, dieting, it's just the road that you do not want to take. It's the road you don't want to take if your destination is healthy and balanced eating. Dieting is the opposite of that. Dieting is an artificial and control and restriction mindset that is not going to get you into a healthy relationship with food, because the rules aren't coming from your body saying, this is okay, I'm hungry, I'm full. It's coming from somebody else who wrote a book or wrote a diet or wrote a blog or, you know, insert here. And I can tell you that from having lived it and from hearing and learning about thousands of women who have been down the same rabbit hole and have found the courage to climb out, I can tell you 100% that dieting is not the road you want to take. And this was the last diet I ever tried, and hopefully it's the last one I will ever try. And it's also the last installment in this series, our little Dieting Chronicles series, which is why I think it's finally time to talk about the thing I've been teasing you about since the series began, and that is the conversation as to whether or not veganism is a diet and the underlying restriction that it entails. So here's what I always find fascinating about us humans. You know, we take a simple statement or an idea and we just beat it into submission. We beat it into submission, right? We create clubs and theories and genres and then subgenres and diets and micro diets and additional rules and an addendum to those rules. And this has happened to veganism, and it's why I personally believe that we have so many ex-vegans and people who don't want to identify as vegans. And what worries me even more, because this is very serious, it's vegans who develop eating disorders, such as anorexia or orthorexia or bulimia or binge eating disorder, among many others. You know, we've taken something that included flexibility and our own imperfect human nature and made it into something else. So here, I want to share with you the definition of a vegan diet as it is defined by the Vegan Society. And this definition was created, including original terms used by Donald Watson in 1944. Donald Watson was the man who coined the term vegan. It didn't exist before then. The term vegetarian existed, but he wanted a term that would, you know, explain that some vegetarians didn't eat dairy and eggs or any type of byproducts from animals, any type of products that came from animals. So he coined a term. His definition was slightly different. And then another person, Leslie Cross, in 1949, further detailed it for the Vegan Society. But the one I'm going to give you now is the current version of the term vegan by the Vegan Society, which has kind of grabbed those concepts from these two first people who defined it. So here's the definition of vegan, okay? It's a philosophy and way of living which seeks to exclude, as far as is possible and practicable, all forms of exploitation of and cruelty to animals for food, clothing, and any other purpose, and by extension promotes the development and use of animal-free alternatives for the benefit of humans, animals, and the environment. In dietary terms, it denotes the practice of dispensing with all products derived wholly or partly from animals. That's the definition. That's the current definition of what it means to be vegan. And there are so many words in this definition that we could talk for hours about, and maybe we will in a future post and episode, right? Some of these for me are seeks to exclude. So operative word being seeks, right? Another one, as far as is possible and practicable, very important parts of this definition. So we might discuss this at a further time, right? At a future time. But for now, here's what I think when we discuss the issue of whether a vegan diet is restrictive, because we've been talking about restriction and the negative aspects of dieting. So we have to talk about the restriction that is included in a vegan diet. It's only natural, right? So when we discuss this issue, right, when we ask ourselves, is a vegan diet restrictive? The answer is yes. And the answer is also no. And the answer is also, it depends on what you turn it into. So does it exclude products? Yes, of course, it excludes products. You know that. And restricting certain foods, animal foods, is at the base of what it means to eat a vegan diet, right? So yeah, it excludes products. This doesn't necessarily mean, though, that you will necessarily feel deprived or restricted of the foods that you love, right? The fact that you can have a vegan burger when you feel like eating a burger, or vegan cheese instead of dairy-based cheese, or vegan pizza, or non-dairy ice cream, or vegan lasagna, or vegan birthday cake, I mean, you name it, you can make it without using animal products. And Bromble is the perfect example of this because that's our mission, right? We want you to be able to create the foods you love in its vegan form. So, you know, if you can make these things without using animal products, to me, this meant that I didn't feel deprived at all. I didn't feel deprived at all. Quite the opposite, actually. I started to eat a larger variety of foods. I tried fruits and vegetables that I had never tried before. My cooking was much more creative and certainly much more delicious. And, you know, a lot goes into this. And since I don't live near the polar ice caps or in an impoverished country, I don't live in a food desert or in an actual desert, I had frequent and plentiful access to food. This all goes into that, right? This all went into that feeling that it wasn't something that included deprivation for me. I could just swap one ingredient for the other and that was it. So this is not the case for everyone in this world. It's simply not the case. Some people do live in areas where food is not plentiful. Some people live in areas where hunger is the number one issue that they're struggling with. Some people live in areas that don't have access to fresh vegetables. Some people, you know, just don't have the means to have a varied diet. So this is not the case for everyone in this world. And, you know, the question of whether veganism is very restrictive, that's going to vary from one person to the next. To me, it wasn't. But that is going to vary. And we cannot put everybody in the same bag, in the same mix, and just make these very broad statements as to whether everyone can do it and how everybody should be enjoying it and how it's not restrictive. People have different lives, they have different challenges, and we need to take that into consideration, right? But I'm talking about me in this post, so to me, it wasn't. It wasn't restrictive. It wasn't restrictive until it was, and I didn't feel deprived until I did. And I did when I decided that this wasn't enough, and that if there were now dozens of subways to eat vegan, it must be because I needed to find one and I needed to do it. This was deprivation central, but it had nothing to do with veganism. It had nothing to do with veganism, at least not with the way of being vegan that I knew and that I loved. And that was that first year for me in which I was so peaceful and at ease with the food that I was eating. So it can be so hard to not fall into this trap, right? It can be so, so hard to not fall into this trap. And here I'm going to get into a little rant, right? It can be so hard to not fall into this trap when already beautiful and slender newscasters, for example, who look like supermodels already, they are asking diet book experts questions on TV with the attention of a hawk, taking notes for later, right? Or as if they were listening to the Dalai Lama and asking these questions and talking about their bodies like they're this science experiment that they need to kind of tweak and perfect until they get an A. I mean, if these women are doing it, and that's the information we're getting from, you know, news stories, oh God. And it can be so hard to eat in a way that is already healthy. And here I'm talking about veganism. It can be so hard to already be eating in this way that is healthy and as simple as eating just in the way you did before, but simply swapping one ingredient for another, and yet feel so bombarded with information that it is still not enough. And it can be so hard to finally find some peace with eating. This is what happened to me when I went vegan, right? This brought so much peace into my life because my issue before then had been overeating. And this new change meant that my food choices were not only about me anymore, right? I made this choice because I love animals. And this brought a lot of peace to my eating. And it can be so hard to find that and then be surrounded with images of what an ideal body looks like, or a quote unquote perfect body looks like. A body that indeed requires restriction and an unhealthy relationship with food to subsist in the majority of cases, right? It can be hard. It can be hard. And it was hard for me, and it's hard for so many others. So can a vegan diet feel restrictive? Yes. It can feel restrictive. We are all different and we have different ways of approaching a change like this. So I can't judge other people's experiences only by the one that I had, right? So sure, for some people, it can feel restrictive. Can a vegan diet mean simply an ethical choice to swap one ingredient for another and eat in a balanced way that allows for pleasure and enjoyment as well as nutrition? Yes! Heck yes! Heck yes! Absolutely. Can we turn this simple ethical choice to skip animal products into yet another diet that thrives on perfectionism and deprivation and obsession? Yes, that can also happen. It can also happen, and it happened to me, and it has happened to many others, but we can come back from that. We can come back from that. We can regain our power as eaters, meaning no one gets to determine what you eat other than you. Okay? No one gets to determine what you eat other than you. That can mean vegan, right? That can mean eating vegan, as is my case, because I love animals and I also love vegan food. So that's easy for me. But it doesn't mean perfect, and it certainly doesn't mean pure. That doesn't exist in veganism, let alone clean or dirty, because what's the opposite of clean eating? I mean, yeah, right? It's so negative. It's such a negative term. It's food. It's just food. And I eat it and I enjoy it and I move on with my life. And this is part of what I want to help you regain by reading this blog or by being a member of our online program or by taking the courses that we plan to create in the future. I want to remind you that you have the power, that you have the power, and also that food can be simple. Right? That food is nutrition and sustenance, but it's also joy and pleasure and enjoyment. And that food also always has an impact in the world and the beings around us. That's important because it does. No matter how you eat or why you decided to go vegan, if you're vegan, your food has an impact in the world, right? I also want to tell you that whether you are or you want to be vegan, are nowhere near vegan, or are anywhere in between, there is a space for you here, okay? There is a space for you here, and that you will never be judged if you eat an Oreo cookie or a vegan donut or you love raw foods or you still eat animal products, okay? So my goal is just to teach you how another way of cooking can be just as delicious, and that trying to be perfect or pure, have the perfect body or the perfect diet, is not part of the imperfect world that we live in. It's just really hard to sustain those two things, right? So this is my mission at Bramble. That's my mission here. And that's all that I have to say on this topic, at least for now. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for bearing with me through this series. It's the most personal one I've written and recorded for you so far. And it's been hard because it's been very challenging for me. This whole issue has been very challenging. It's been recent and painful, but it was also real. And real is always good, right? That's what I always say. Real is always good. So thank you so much for being on the other end and listening. Thanks so much for listening in today. Now, if you'd like to support this podcast, I'd be so grateful if you could subscribe and also leave us an awesome rating and review on iTunes. This really helps us rank higher in searches, and it helps other people who need this information find us. So to leave us a rating and review, all you have to do this on your phone, is open your podcast app, click the search icon, type in Bramble, and go to our podcast. And then you just have to click on the reviews tab and just click write a review, and you leave us your review. So you can't do this from your own subscription fee to the podcast. I don't know why. I don't know why they make this so difficult. So you just have to do it from the search, like I mentioned just now. So to do it on your computer, if this is easier, you just have to open your iTunes, type in Bramble in the search bar, go to ratings and reviews, and you leave it there. I will be so eternally grateful if you can take the time to do this, since we really want to support others on their journey. This content is completely free, so all we need is to reach other people who are looking for this information and looking for support, and we need your help to do it. So thank you so much for listening in today, and as usual, I'll see you next week with more on Thursday. That's our little date. Bye-bye.